and Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With the dawn comes Black Friday in many places, but not in Los Angeles, where some stores opened up to on-site shoppers around 8 p.m. last night with 27 straight hours to shop till you drop.
We always come to Black Friday. Sometimes we don't find stuff, sometimes we do. It just depends on the thing, but it's more of like a family get-together after dinner and stuff like that.
Feels good being around with my family. And go walking outside in the fresh air feels good.
CBS News Los Angeles reporter Gio Encinares has been there all night.
A lot going on right now with so many people taking photos, taking this all in, waiting in lines outside of some stores, waiting for their chance to get inside. Right at 8 o'clock, the chaos, if you want to describe it that way, really kicked off in earnest. Also starting at that time was the nightly Snowy Night Show that happens hourly at 8 p.m. going until 5 a.m.
The National Retail Federation expects total holiday shopping this season will grow 2.5% to 3.5% over last year. Back east, less fun as a blast of Arctic air is whipping up dangerous conditions. CBS's Rob Marciano is tracking it for us.
The snow is still hanging around across parts of upstate New York and northern New England, and we're still looking at some heavy snow from Rutland, Vermont, all the way through Augusta, Maine. And this cold air is going to infiltrate so much of the country and really kick in a lake effect snow machine. So everybody that lives lee of all the Great Lakes, which are way above normal temperature-wise right now, that cold air is going to crank things up.
In Ukraine, Russia's relentless attack on the energy infrastructure is taking its toll, leaving over a million households currently without power as winter settles in. CBS's Remy Innocenzo is following that.
There is no electricity, said this man in Pokrovsk. We have coal and firewood. In Mykolaiv in the south, people lined up for water, while in Lviv, near Ukraine's western border with Poland. Now we are used to it, said the store clerk. If there is no light, there is no light, and so we go on living.
Australia's parliament has just approved a bill which would make social media companies subject to fines if they don't systematically prevent children under 16 from holding accounts. Sean Close doesn't like that idea.
Government can't own people. And they can't tell parents what to do with their children. And what it is actually censoring for everyone.
Muddy footprints left on a Kenyan lakeside and fossilized suggest two of our early human ancestors were neighbors some 1.5 million years ago. Researchers believe the footprints were left in the mud by two different species. Perhaps within a matter of hours or days, one species walked like modern humans, they say. The other had an unusual gait. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Packers ice the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 30-17 win over the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay linebacker Quay Walker on how they were able to limit the Dolphins' explosive passing game led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
We just had a game plan. We just knew what it was for him. You get the ball out in like 2.5 seconds, so the ball is coming out fast. Pretty much go to his read, and anytime if it's not there, you're going back to away from whatever the case may be.
Miami once again failed to win a game in cold weather, unable to change the narrative. Head coach Mike McDaniel.
That's the thing with narratives. There's one way to change them. I mean, the naysayers will, you know, you prove them right, they'll be louder. That's part of the territory. You carry that until you do something about it, and unfortunately we didn't tonight.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers at home today against the Minnesota Gophers. At stake for the Badgers, keeping the Paul Bunyan axe in Madison and a chance at a bowl game bid alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Flurries and light snow ending in the overnight. We'll see lows in the mid-teens, west to northwest winds gusting around 25 miles per hour. On Friday, clouds eventually giving way to mostly sunny skies. West to northwest winds still gusty, highs in the lower 20s. Currently 17 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special edition of the show. We'll look at Black Friday deals and look back at a couple of great interviews of the year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome to Nightlight. And happy, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you for being here this evening. If you are here, it means you're either tired of family, sick of football, it's too cold out, or you just love Nightlight. We'll accept any and all reasons to be here. It is great to have you. This is a fun show we put together for you specifically on Thanksgiving Day. And Conrad is riding shotgun, even though he's not really here today. Wrap your head around that one.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Conrad. We have a fun show tonight. We put together a little show, kind of a best of here, so we could be with our families on Thanksgiving. And our guests, this is exciting, Andrea Belke.
Yep.
She's joining us again. I just reached out to Andrea last week and I said, hey, we would love to get you back on the show and have you juggle inanimate objects again like she did last time she was here and showed us one of her many talents. And she's busy till the end of the year, but we're going to book her back shortly after the holidays. And then Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler will be here. They both work for National Lampoon. Jamie is the voice of the network and Jeff is one of the writers. So they'll be here. That was a fun interview we did a few weeks ago. Great to have those guys on the show. So we thought that was a good one to replay, break it out for the holidays. And then Conrad, what else do we have that's very special and exciting?
Well, you know, it sucks that it never aired because, you know, I don't think it got picked up by any networks.
Well, we're still working. We'll get it out there.
But it's the Huck Tua reality show.
It was bound to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. She's got a very popular podcast, although I wonder if it's as popular now as it was a few weeks ago when it like shot up to number 3 on Spotify.
Yeah.
She was like giving Joe Rogan a run for his money.
I think it was just there for the jokes.
What do you mean?
Everyone's just joined it because it's funny, I feel
Hot
like.
Tua, right.
But
then it wears off.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's any real content in there. So right. You're not going to learn anything from it.
And it's probably people going on her podcast while she's popular to get more listeners to their podcast.
Yeah.
It's like a podcast thing. She's not getting Tom Hanks on there, you know.
That would be interesting.
Well, yeah. And I mean, eventually, it's all like sort of this give and take for podcast listeners. Having said that, I would kill to have her on this show. I am not beyond some groveling to get the Hawk Tua girl on this show. We did try to join the fan club, but it was very pricey. What was it? 200?
250 for the regular and then 500 for the VIP.
And if I remember correctly, the VIP gets you pretty much just what the regular gets you, but they put like an extra adjective in front of the...
Extra special.
Yeah.
Instead of special.
You're an extra special member. What does that mean? Well, we're not saying.
It just means you spent an extra $200. So that's a fun show. We put that together. We hope you guys enjoy it. We hope you're having a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, this is something interesting. A few days ago, we did a question of the night was favorite Thanksgiving sides. You know what my least favorite Thanksgiving side is, or a side I never have at Thanksgiving, which is a very popular American staple? Any guesses?
Well, I think I know.
I'll tell you, because I don't know if you do know, but salad.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and there have been salad offerings at Thanksgiving, but I never indulge. I'm too focused on the starch and the carbs and everything else that the last thing I want to do is eat salad. And I'm, you know, pretty regular vegetable and salad eater. I don't know. Do you eat salad on Thanksgiving?
You know, there's those other types of salad, like, what are they called?
Green
like
bean.
Why can't I think of it? Like the salads you'd pick up at like the deli.
The bag salads?
I can't remember what they're called.
Oh, what is that?
German potato salad, like that type of stuff.
Oh, wow. German potato salad.
There's like broccoli salad that, you know, that kind of stuff is in there sometimes.
Okay.
But no, like a regular salad, I don't think I'd. That is very heavily carbs and starch, like you said, I don't think I'd look at it and be like, you know, this could use some greens.
I can't wait to polish those three leaves off. I need every single calorie available to the rest of the meal. But it is Thanksgiving Day. We hope you're having a great day. And we started talking before the show and we decided it was, you know, we always talk about movies around the holidays, but, you know, Conrad and I are both sitcom watchers.
Yeah.
Watchers of television sitcoms. And it got us thinking, like, what are the best TV show sitcoms? And I would say, you know, Friends is up there as one of the all-time favorites, or at least it constantly gets mentioned, and it's good. Love the old Bob Newhart one from the 70s, the first Bob Newhart show. That was a funny Thanksgiving one. Obviously, WKRP. You have a favorite, too, though.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving episodes, like you said, I would go with Friends probably as my number one because I just love how they fight over that stupid doll.
Oh, yeah.
When they go and play football.
They did more than one, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They did that one. And then the other one was when, what was it? The Rachel Green hate fan club where I forget who, was it Brad Pitt?
No. You know, the later ones I'm not as familiar with, I have to be honest.
I can't remember who guest stars in that one. Yeah, I think it's Brad Pitt.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, those two are pretty good. And then I'd say How I Met Your Mother. And if I recall, that's the only Thanksgiving one they did. They did a bunch of Christmas ones. But Thanksgiving one was funny because Ted and Robin want to do something nice for Thanksgiving. So they go to the soup kitchen. And then Barney's in there working his tail off, being one of the best members they have. And he lies and says, no, I just do this because I want to. And at the end, they find out that it's court mandated because he had a public urination thing at a building.
There is nothing funnier than someone doing something because the court is making them. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was because they got kicked out of it. I forget what they did, but they got kicked out of the soup kitchen. And Barney did too.
That's funny.
So he was mad at them.
That's great. I like that. I'm going to have to check that. That show is on my shows to watch and purely because you're such a fan. And over the course of doing this show, other people have called in and love it too. So it's definitely, it never gets mentioned. And maybe it's not that elite, like Seinfeld, Friends, whatever, but it's in the conversation. Like I would say next tier, right?
I just think it could have been on that level if the ending didn't suck.
Really?
The ending's terrible.
But the ending of Seinfeld, I didn't like that either.
Oh, really?
It was sort of a, not middle finger to viewers, but sort of like a, we just want to be jerks. And I just thought it could have been, the show was so clever, I thought it could have been a little more clever. It was a little contrived.
Well, let's just say, it ends really sad, really dark, and then there's just no closure.
Oh, really? Whoa, really?
Yeah, and it's so weird because it's such a funny show. There's some, you know, there's some episodes where it's kind of dark. Like, if you're feeling sad, you go to those episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, incomplete, it feels like. feel like they could have one more season to it.
Maybe they thought they were.
Yeah, I don't. They did.
What was the
9 seasons of it?
Yeah, that's a good run. What was the thing with Monica on Friends where she had the turkey on her head? Was that the same one where Chandler lost his toe in the flashback?
Yes.
And she was trying to chew him up, or were those two separate? That's the same one?
Yeah. Okay. That's a different episode. That's actually, so there's 3 that we can think of.
Yeah, when they flashback and Ross and Chandler are dressed like 80s guys or like Miami Vice and he gets his toe. It's when Monica's still heavy.
Yeah.
And a knife goes up in the air or something and comes down and cuts Chandler's toe off. And then didn't they show up at the hospital and they had like a
carrot,
piece of corn? It was a carrot. That's right.
But the reason that Monica put her head in it is because Joey at the start of the episode got his head stuck in it.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah. So that was a different episode. I thought Chandler was like sulking because he hates Thanksgiving and she tried to cheer him up because of that memory.
And then he has his grilled cheese at the end of it.
And it's funny because, I mean, movies, it's easy. To me, it's like because I think I've said previously on the show, I consider It's a Wonderful Life to be a little more of a Thanksgiving movie, even though it's set in Christmas. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because maybe that's the weekend people choose to watch it. Because that's a big, like, what movie are you going to watch this weekend? You got 3 more days, you know.
Definitely Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right.
I don't know. Besides that, I don't really get into the Christmas spirit with that. You know, I watch a lot of football, so that's basically what I'm going to watch.
That's your Christmas. That's your Thanksgiving
movie. That's my Thanksgiving. I don't watch any movies on Thanksgiving. It's just all until the end of the day where there's no football anymore.
I'll say that I could put Die Hard in a Thanksgiving weekend repertoire because I know a lot of people insist it's a Christmas movie. To some degree, it is. But I feel like it is and it isn't. So I could easily go with that one on Thanksgiving. I would do Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, maybe Die Hard, and maybe It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I really do like It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's a great movie.
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
All right. So we've established that I am not eating salad today. And gravy. Where are we at with gravy? You're a gravy guy?
No. I never really liked gravy. And isn't it, it's just simple ingredients, but to me it looks gross.
It's fat. It's like butter and lard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, look, there are many different kinds of gravies, but to me it just really grosses me out.
Yeah.
I like, on my potatoes, I like butter and salt and pepper.
Yep.
And I like to taste a potato.
Yeah.
Same thing with stuffing. I see people loading up and I just, it doesn't gross me out, but I really have no desire ever to have gravy again.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried it once.
You've only tried gravy once?
No, maybe more, but it's just never
enough to know. Yeah.
I just like it with butter and some salt and pepper, and I think that tastes pretty good.
Same. And I see people load up. I've done it. When I was a kid, I had gravy just because I thought I was supposed to. And then it's like maybe 19 or 20, I just kind of realized, wow, this really sucks. I don't like this at all on any of my food. It's ruining the food. Now, there are people listening that are probably going to text, even though we're not here, and say, you're crazy. We love gravy. And that's fine, too. My folks love gravy. I don't know, man. I just can't do it.
So you like cranberry, though?
Yeah, I do.
I don't like cranberry. But last week when I was at my sister-in-law and my brother's, they hosted Thanksgiving at their house, and she made a cranberry jalapeno salsa.
Oh, wow.
It was so good.
That does sound good.
I'd like a whole plate of it.
Let's get a little gravy on there. It'll be
I don't need gravy on it.
All right, we got a fun show here. Coming up next, the Hawk Tua Girl, a sneak peek at an episode that's never gonna happen probably. And then Andrea Belke from Discover Wisconsin joins us, and Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler from National Lampoon. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're coming right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Hey, this is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we put together some fun segments for previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving. New Berlin says, was watching it yesterday, thought the same thing. It was creepy. Tom, you were watching Family Feud yesterday, like the old reruns? What are the odds of that? And yeah, it is creepy. And apparently towards the end of Richard Dawson's tenure as the host of Family Feud, he would throw a few back before the show. So we should all feel grateful, as should the women, that he stopped kissing. Because I think he was starting to slur his words and get a little carried away as the show went on. He would, like, mumble. I think it was my buddy Mike Toomey did a great joke. Survey says, like he got survey says, but you couldn't hear anything else. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I would like to see Mr. Magoo as president. Well, who wouldn't, Anna? He looks distinguished anyway. That's a good one. Mr. Magoo. I could roll with Mr. Magoo as the commander in chief. And then Tom from Berlin says, oh, clarifying. And I was in my teenage years and remember watching the show. I love the show because the questions aren't crazy like Jeopardy. Like sometimes I can watch Jeopardy and go, I'm pretty smart. Otherwise, other times I watch Jeopardy, I'm like, I'm a complete idiot. But Family Feud was not like that. It was sort of the everyman's game show. 100 people surveyed, top answers on the board. That simple. Great concept. Wish I would have thought of it. I was like two. So keep those texts coming, folks. You're welcome to comment, as you know, on anything we're talking about. I love the Family Feud comments. Also, who do you think, what cartoon do you think would make, cartoon character do you think would make a great president? Okay, so as promised, this is crazy, but every once in a while on Nightlight, I get access to something just because of all my connections in the entertainment industry. And I don't have a ton, but I have a few and they're solid. We had my interview with Taylor Swift a couple months ago. Remember that one, Conrad?
Of course.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
I remember that she was young.
Yeah, correct. And then we had the Travis Kelce sideline talk with Andy Reid. We obtained that. That was great. And tonight, this is very exciting. We have a sneak preview. As everyone has probably heard now, the Huck Tua girl is very popular. She made one gesture and said, Huck Tua on that thing, relating to how she takes care of her boyfriend. Yeah, it was a little risque, but it was barely English, so it feels okay to say on the radio. But now the world has gone bananas because a cute girl said something and everybody wants to watch it. And now the representatives and the influencers are getting a hold of her to make a reality show out of one thing she said at a rodeo or tractor pull or whatever it was. And she's going to do stand-up comedy. She's got merch coming out, apparently. But the reality show is the big thing because TMZ promoted this recently. They said there are rumors. Well, here at Nightlight tonight, folks, it's a good thing you're here because we can confirm these are more than just rumors. They've already shot some episodes and we've obtained an audio clip of a sneak preview of what this season, just to give you a taste of what the Hawk Tua Girls reality show will look like. Conrad, let's roll it.
This week on Hawk Tua the Top.
What's the matter, bruh? Everything okay with Haley?
I'm wondering if there's someone else. I mean, she told me she'd never Hawk Tua on another thing, and that mine was the best.
Bruh, they always say that. But now she's famous, I might want to date famous guys. With famous things.
Chad wants to put a ring on it, but Haley reminds him who calls the shots.
Where have you been?
I was hanging with the Kardashians. What's your problem?
You know I don't like them skanks.
Will you chill? We were just making a sex tape. God.
You've changed. I mean, you never Hawk Tua on my thing anymore. Then you want me to sign a prenup after I made all that Hawk Tua merch.
You think screen printing merch makes you special? I'm the brains behind Hawk Tua. Can you even begin to comprehend how much pressure is on me? How hard it is to get an entire season of television out of a foreplay technique?
Whatever. You ain't Hawk Tua on my thing in weeks. And last time you did it, you barely even Tua it.
And things get complicated when Haley meets a new love.
You're dating Tua Tagalovian? You're giving the Hawk Tua to Tua?
Oh my God, grow up.
Don't miss the next episode of Hawk Tua the Top. When the Hawk Tua girl and Tua get Tugavalovian.
Hawk Tua.
That's one to see.
It's on my list.
I'm not a reality show guy. And great that Todd Michaels got another gig.
Right.
But that sounds like a good show. I don't know. It sounds insightful. There's some drama. She just seems like a girl trying to make it in this world. And poor Chad, you know, what's he supposed to do? He's dating this girl. She becomes famous. Now she's hanging with the Kardashians and dating NFL quarterbacks like Tua. How do you say his last name?
Tagovailoa.
I don't think Chad said it right.
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. So, you know, that's how fame does change people, folks. And Haley Welch is her real name. But that just, she's no different. So God bless her. I hope things go well for her. It sounds like a good show. Maybe we'll play it again in the second hour just to see what people think. I don't know, but you're welcome to weigh in on the Hawk Tua Girls reality show. I think it's, what was it called? Hawk Tua the Top?
Hawk Tua the Top.
She's going to Hawk Tua her way to the top. So good stuff. And a tip of my hat to the Nightlight journalist that got their hands on that piece of tape, because that's invaluable. People won't see that until it comes out on, but we gave him a sneak peek here on Nightlight tonight. Tom says, I'm sorry, that's not Tom. That's an old text I was about to read. Tom says, what does the term mean? And then he quickly says, sorry, got it. He figured out. Tom says, what's wrong with lotions? Well, Tom, listen, I'm no expert, but I think that would indicate, you know, you don't have a girlfriend or you're a stag. You know, you're going solo. This guy's dating Haley. She's got to. He's bringing other stuff to the party.
It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself phoning her at least 10 times a day. It's so unusual for me to carry on this way. I tell ya, I can't sleep at night, wanting to hold her tight. I've tried so hard to convince myself that this feeling just came.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. It's the day after Thanksgiving, the traditional kickoff of the holiday gift-buying rush, and CBS's Nancy Chen tells us doors will soon be open in many places.
Stores like Macy's, Target, and Kohl's will be kicking off early holiday shopping sales, many opening as early as 5 a.m. and then staying open until nearly midnight.
Arctic air is sweeping across the central U.S. with temperatures about to take a deep dive in the east.
All the Great Lakes, which are way above normal temperature-wise right now, that cold air is going to crank things up. Not just tonight, not just through tomorrow, but to Saturday and Sunday as well.
CBS's Rob Marciano. It is cold in Ukraine, too, with Russian airstrikes degrading the power grid.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said nearly 20 targets, including military and defense sites, were hit. More than 1 million people across Ukraine lost power as the first snow fell on the eastern front lines.
CBS News correspondent Remy Innocenzio. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers ice the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 30-17 win over the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay linebacker Quay Walker on how they were able to limit the Dolphins' explosive passing game led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
We just had a game plan. We just knew what it was for him. You get the ball out in like 2.5 seconds, so the ball is coming out fast. Pretty much go to his read, and anytime if it's not there, you're going back to away from whatever the case may be.
Miami once again failed to win a game in cold weather, unable to change the narrative. Head coach Mike McDaniel.
That's the thing with narratives. There's one way to change them. I mean, the naysayers will, you know, you prove them right, they'll be louder. That's part of the territory. You carry that until you do something about it, and unfortunately we didn't tonight.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers at home today against the Minnesota Gophers. At stake for the Badgers, keeping the Paul Bunyan axe in Madison and a chance at a bowl game bid alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Comer, sports broadcaster on WIRI. I'd just like to wish everybody a very safe and happy deer season and a very happy Thanksgiving.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, gradually becoming mostly sunny this afternoon. Our high today in the upper teens to low 20s. Tonight, mostly clear, our low between 5 and 10. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, upper teens to low 20s. By Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll revisit some of our favorite recent interviews, including children's author Laura Bird and meeting new state legislator Christian Phelps.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we put together some fun segments from previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving. Please be well. There's this thing called love, and it's everywhere. She told me it can break your heart out. All right, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is also a survivor, like a three-timer on the show Survivor, which I find fascinating. She joins us now on Nightlight via the stream. Andrea Belke. Hey, Andrea.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I just got back from Utah. I was there yesterday visiting my sister. So now I'm back in Milwaukee because you're in Green Bay, right?
We are. We're in, downtown nice. Green Bay. Yeah, it's a beautiful night here. And are you from, where are you based right now?
Milwaukee.
Nice.
I grew up in Random Lake, Wisconsin. Have you heard of Random Lake?
I have. I had an uncle that lived there for a while. I don't know the circumstances. Might have been witness protection. I'm not sure, but he lived in Random Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up on a farm a little bit outside of Random Lake with my parents and then moved to New York after college for 10 years. And then now I've been in Milwaukee about 3 years.
Wow. So is that nice for you? Like being centrally? I mean, I was looking at your resume. You are all over the place. You travel, you're hosting red carpets and being correspondents and you do stuff in Milwaukee. Now you're doing Discover Wisconsin. Is Milwaukee a good base for you? Given all that?
Right now it is. I mean, I was in New York for a while. And then honestly, I was just kind of homesick. I was really missing my family. I have two younger sisters. So growing up and then, missing the key parts of their life, like graduations and basketball tournaments and everything. So I finally moved back and I've just been a lot happier being back. And Milwaukee's a great city. I mean, there's so much to do. It's not as big as New York City, obviously, but I find enough local TV and opportunities. So I'm loving it.
Wow. Good for you. I know what you mean too. I lived in Los Angeles for years and years and like the big stuff you come back for, but like a second cousin wedding, stuff like that is the stuff you miss. And that's when you see your whole family. It's hard to miss that stuff. So good for you.
Yeah, you're right. It's always kind of hard to decide, is this worth buying a trip home?
Right.
And then you feel like such a jerk. How long were you in Los Angeles?
Almost 15 years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So. What was the reason for finally coming back?
Witness protection. we were at a point where my kids were, we didn't leave for the reasons everybody says, you wanted to raise your kids in a small town. It's like, that's not it. It's family. It's all about family. And there's times I really miss LA and I was kind of commuting for a while, but that gets expensive too. And if there's like some project where I have to go out there, I'll go. But right now I have to say, and maybe you'd agree with this, it's so easy to live in Wisconsin.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Obviously winters can be tough. That
Brutal.
Is, but I think it makes summers, like as soon as spring rolls around, I am so happy. I am happier, I think, than, the average person in LA that has sun all year round. I think it's because it's this buildup, but the winters are pretty, they're
brutal.
Terrible.
I will not lie about that. I hate the winters and, but whatever. You don't pick where you live based on weather. Well, some people do, but anyway. Let's talk about Discover Wisconsin. For people who have not seen it yet, tell us what you do on the show and tell us about the show.
Yeah, so I host a show called Discover Wisconsin. We basically go all around the state exploring different counties, different cities, different events. I'll be going to Cranberry Fest coming up.
Nice.
We'll do different county fairs, sometimes an episode will have a theme. Like I, in this next season that airs in at the end of August, I did an episode all about forest management and timber and all the things that you can do with timber. Did you know that wood is in your face products and your toothpaste? I mean, there's just, I learn a lot about different things that are going on in the state. And I mean, it's a lot of the typical Wisconsin things too, like kayaking, canoeing, hiking, mountain biking.
Cheese curds.
But it's, yeah, lots of cheese curds. I'm actually lactose intolerant too. So that, I learned, for some reason, I didn't know Lactaid was a thing. So now on my shoes, I just make sure I bring a bunch of Lactaid and I can eat whatever I want.
Oh, there you
but
go.
But there's a lot of, a lot of checking out different breweries, distilleries, lots of food, lots of, cheese is a big one. We did an episode on Lake Geneva, which I've always heard about Lake Geneva. I didn't realize how cool that city is. All the speakeasies and all the the lore around Lake Geneva. So it's been a really cool way to come back, still do what I love, which is TV hosting, and get to discover Wisconsin. But in a way that I really didn't growing up. Like, I don't know, my family and I, we didn't do a ton of traveling. We were all just really busy with 4-H and going to the, getting our animals ready for the county fair. Yeah, that was a big part of my life. So we didn't really go around the state that much. And there's just so much to do just here in Wisconsin.
So, all right, now I'm going to give you a little quick quiz. I wrote a script a few years ago. It was a half hour. And I put 4-H in it. And the other writer and me were trying to figure out what 4-H stood for, and we couldn't think of it. And I was never in 4-H. I'm the epitome of an inside guy. But you, as a farm girl and a 4-H'er, do you know what the 4-H's are?
Oh, my 4-H family is going to disown me. Okay, I haven't had to say this in so long, but it's my head for greater thinking, my heart for greater something.
Compassion, maybe?
My hands for greater service, head, heart, hand, health.
That's it. I think you're right. Wow. That's impressive.
My country, my community, my world.
That is impressive. I thought I was going for a gotcha moment there, and you turned it around and you slam dunked right in my face. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think those have to be the 4-H's. I can't think of any other H words at this point.
Where it fits, yeah. Hectic. Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah.
So how did you get the Discover Wisconsin gig?
So when I moved back from New York, I actually had a producer reach out to me. I went to school with him at Stevens Point for college. We did student television together, and he saw I was back in town, and then was saying, hey, we have openings for hosts. And at the time I was working for People Magazine, which was a great gig, interviewing tons of celebrities, doing red carpets. But at that point it was all virtual. And once you interview celebrities, I mean, you do all the time. They're just people, I think. And after doing it for 8 years, I was ready for something different. I was ready for also a little bit more of a freelance lifestyle where I could travel and kind of have a variety. So it was kind of perfect. I feel like after being in the business for, 15 years at this point, now opportunities just kind of present themselves from like past connections.
Yeah.
It took a long, I'm sure you can relate to that. It takes a long time, but finally just so many years later, it starts to kind of pay off of, oh, I'm so glad I did that project. Cause then now it opened up for 7 years later for this gig. Like it kind of like pays to put in on the time.
Yeah, totally. So what have you learned about, like, and it's so funny what you say, there's more people, like we had Thomas Lennon on the show last night, and I just found out, I've known Tom for years, he just moved to Lake Geneva. Like, and that goes to what we were saying before about how Wisconsin is such an easy place to live. What area have you discovered that you didn't know about besides like Lake Geneva?
Well, I would say, I growing up never went to Door County.
Oh, wow.
And,
really?
Which is, And so I feel like I was just, I'm sure a lot of people listening, it was like, it's a no brainer. You go to Door County with your family. I never did until Discover Wisconsin. And we just went to Carlsville, which is pretty much an intersection, but there's about like 4 or 5 businesses right there. And it was just cool. And then after that, like going up and seeing more of it. But I mean, Door County, if you haven't been, it's the coolest area.
Beautiful.
And then even going I go all the way up to Lake Superior all the time, up to Superior, and then, go across to Duluth.
Wow.
So a lot of my treks. Oh, and then Madeline Island. Have you ever been there?
No, I've heard it's so beautiful. There's a lot of places. I've heard the Apostle Islands are great and Cornucopia and all these great places up by Lake Superior, but it's cold. I live in the Marinette area, so It's cold enough there. I don't need to go farther north, but I would. I've heard it's gorgeous.
It's cool. You take a ferry there. There's no cars on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, there are cars on the island. I was getting that confused with like with Mackinac, but there's no gas stations on the island. So you have to go back over to get gas. I don't think I'd want to live there, but pretty cool to visit.
Yeah. Where is the Cranberry Fest that you're going to?
Well, I haven't been sent the production book yet, so I'm actually not sure. I'm sure I could do a quick Google search.
Oh, that's okay. We toured an actual cranberry farm in the Three Lakes area several years ago when we first got back here, and that was really fascinating. Like, and they told us that they supply Ocean Spray with most of their cranberries come from Wisconsin, and I didn't know that. And it's just a little fun thing to geek out on, you know.
Oh, yeah. Cranberries are huge in Wisconsin, which is something I never knew.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything with cranberries yet. So that's coming up next month.
All right. Andrea Belke is my guest. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and a new transplant to her home state. She recently moved back here and makes Milwaukee her home now. She's got some really cool stuff. Your resume is just like, I was exhausted reading it. You've done so much stuff. And I got to ask you about Survivor. You've done three tours of Survivor. You're obviously very good at it. That seems awful to me. How was it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm not that good because I'm a three-time Survivor loser, but
well,
I always do go very far.
Yeah.
And then people will vote. People will target me because I'm always good at the challenges, which I actually credit to growing up in Wisconsin because you play so many yard games.
Right.
And that's pretty much what the Survivor challenges are. And then I think growing up on a farm too, just kind of having the overall athleticism and just like random things being having a good aim. So it actually is really tough. I kind of went into it thinking like, how hard can this be? I've been camping. I grew up on a farm. I've worked really hard growing up. But I understand why I would never quit, but there are times where you actually kind of feel like you're dying and you understand why people do quit. Cause wow. Sometimes people quit the show and it's this huge disgrace and the fans are so upset, and I would never do it. But I remember thinking, having that moment going, oh, I understand, because you are starving. They give you like a tiny rice ration where it's probably about the size of your hand.
Wow.
And that's all you're eating. Like, that's the amount of rice you have all day. And there were some days we'd go like a couple of days without food. And then, so whenever people are just like, how hard is it? I'm like, okay, I dare you. Just go 2 or 3 days without eating at all. And then be in like a hot, you know, well, or on an island, but like surround yourself by like these really crazy personalities and then throw $1 million in there. I mean, that's why like the producers don't have to make you say anything. It just all comes out because there's so much trauma because everyone's starving. You haven't slept. You're sleeping on bamboo. You're sleeping on whatever shelter you put together. And then in my first season, Nicaragua, it would rain every night and you'd be laying on the wet bamboo and just feeling drips, dripping all night. And then you hear people just like start like
bugs.
Slapping their, yes, the bugs. On my second season, I came home and I had all these bug bites on my knees, which I still have scars from. And it wasn't this, but this is what it looks like. When I went to the doctor, he said, okay, that looks like you have larvae in your knees.
Oh,
okay,
no.
It wasn't that, but that's how infected they were. Like, they were so bubbly and infected. Sorry, this is so gross. but you asked how hard it was.
No, I love this.
You would be sleeping and then rats would run across you during the night. So people would wake up from rats. And then just mentally, it wears you down. You can't trust anybody. People are just lying to your face. You're trying to also lie and you feel bad about yourself morally. You're like, I know this is a game, but I'm just telling this person I'm with them and I'm not. Now I feel terrible. But it was overall, it was a pretty brutal experience, but also super rewarding, so fun. It's one of those things, you love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah, but you did it, you went back twice. Let's pick up there, because I do have more questions. I've done like a 36-hour fast a few times, and I wouldn't have anybody within a 10-mile radius want to talk to me. Like, it can make you really crabby, and if there was $1 million on the line, I'd probably just, I don't know what I'd do. So let's go. Yeah. All right. I have more Survivor questions. Andrea Belke is here. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and has been on Survivor 3, count them 3 times. And she's got larvae in her knees and all kinds of other things going on. We'll talk more about that Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at cartalk.com. Remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual. And if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Andrea Belke is here. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is a three-time Survivor. In the research I did today, Andrea, they call you a... I'm not going to try to make you cry like Barbara Walters or anything. You've been described as a fan favorite. I would kill to be described as a fan favorite at any point in my life. Like, that's really cool. Like, did it give you strength when you were in Nicaragua, let's say, on Survivor, that people were cheering for you? Do you know that while you're going through the process?
So didn't know that at the time.
Okay.
You film the season and then you wait like 6 months and then it airs. So I knew that going into my second season because I was cast on Fans First Favorites. So yeah, I mean, that feels good, you know, but I also can recognize I had a really good edit. So they painted me as Wisconsin farm girl, tough and strategic. And, you know, they can take anything you say and air it. They can make you into anything. Because as you know, I mean, sometimes we're nice. Sometimes you maybe didn't, well, you're on a fast. Maybe right. You weren't the nicest.
Right.
And they can make you into whatever character they want you to. So I've been so lucky that editors have been very, very nice to me.
That is good.
So that was, because honestly, I would say the hardest part about the whole experience for me was not even just playing, but being back and watching the reception and the social media of it. And it's only gotten worse and worse. It's just people are so mean. You get death threats. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so that's hard because there's a lot of anxious awaiting the episodes and wondering, oh my goodness, are they going to show when I went off on so-and-so? And then I was just lucky because they really never showed any of the bad stuff.
Wow. So what made you want to do it initially?
I actually, my parents had both applied for the show.
Oh,
we would
cool.
watch Survivor as a family. They both applied and they didn't get on, but one day I was in theater school and I didn't get into this play and I was so bummed out. And my mom said, why don't you try out for Survivor? And I was like, Mom, that's so different. It's do people even watch the audition tapes? I just thought it was so silly. But kind of to appease her, I sent in a tape and I really leaned into the Wisconsin farm.
Nice.
I mean, I actually, if you offered me $10,000, I would not show this tape. I'm so mortified. I was in, my mom actually wanted me to do it this way, but I was in my bikini in the snow.
Milking a cow.
Swinging up on a horse. Yeah. Right. No, basically, we don't have cows. We don't have the dairy cows, but I was catching pigs.
Wow.
It was so ridiculous. So I did a full send, really leaned into it, and they called me. And I think that whenever people, so many people ask me, how do you get recognized? What should I do for my tape? And I just say, find your niche and just go all out. Because once you're on the show, you can do whatever you want. You can be boring. You don't have to be all the things you said you were in the tape, but find what makes you really unique. And I just really leaned into the Wisconsin farm girl. And so they called me and flew me to LA for auditions and had me before the producers and Jeff Probst. And then I got cast on the show.
That's so cool. Conrad tried to get on Big Brother, but he wore a one piece. And I told him he should have wore a bikini, but he really just kind of blew it. But
Wait, he auditioned?
No. Maybe he did. I don't know him that well. Conrad's not that. He's not that type of guy. He's more of a private guy. So you've done a lot of like red carpet stuff too, Andrea. What is that like? Like when it comes to hosting, what do you like the most?
I do so many different types of hosting. I love live stuff. Like I work for the Morning Blend in Milwaukee and just doing live TV is really fun. But I will say the chapter of my life where I was doing celebrity interviews was really cool because it was a world that, you know, I grew up on a farm. No one in my family did anything theatrical or on TV. So I was really the first person to say, hey, I want to do TV stuff. And, I hosted at the Emmys red carpet,
yeah.
Oscars. I got to interview Robert De Niro, Brad Pitt, J-Lo.
Oh, man.
So it's fun. It's really nerve-wracking. You know, you get like two, you're like, okay, Brad Pitt's walking up. He just won his SAG award. You get two questions. That's almost harder than a sit-down interview because you're like, I get two? I better not mess this up.
Right.
So that stuff was really, really fun. And then I have a lot of fun doing the most random things. Like I got hired this year to do some hosting at the Westminster Dog Show.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I'll get booked for a job and then I just have to go into study mode where I need to be an expert on dog breeds. And so I know all about the Pekingese, the Shiloh's Queensley. That's the hardest one to say. And I was at the Westminster Dog Show hosting in the arena. Crazy stuff.
Whoa.
But, yeah, I think live stuff is really fun because it's a lot more pressure and I do pretty well under pressure. So I like it all.
That's excellent. You'll always work. You know, if you're good under pressure, you know, as long as you don't start dropping F-bombs randomly, I think you'll always have a gig. You know, you went to Stevens Point, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. But you said you didn't have a theater background, but you have a BFA. I think it was in acting, right? So,
oh yeah, I meant that my family didn't really have any
right.
theater background. So no one in my family pursued anything. And even though my family, they're good singers, they're creative. My mom's an artist, but they never did anything like pursued it professionally in terms of like, you know, television or getting a career in it. But I do have a BFA in acting. Yeah.
But that's impressive because you have to audition for that, right? To get into that program. So
mm-hmm.
the fact that you didn't grow up with theater and still got into a BFA program at Stevens Point, which is a pretty respected, as I understand it, program, that's really impressive.
I mean, it was tough. The program was really tough and it definitely prepared me. I still do some acting. I just kind of found that the TV hosting was more my bread and butter and I just
yeah.
kind of felt like I was a little better at it. But the acting definitely, you know, it teaches you skills that help with really anything in entertainment.
You also, I saw your resume and you have as one of your, you say, oh boy, a lot, like I'm going to uncover something. I don't think you have anything that would be that horrible. But it does say juggling. The first thing I thought of, what does that mean? Juggling gigs? Because your resume is like 8 miles long with hosting stuff. Or do you mean actually juggling, like bowling pins or tennis balls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's probably my special skills section. I do have a lot of random special skills. The thing about a theater degree is, it's always funny when I talk to someone. My sister right now, she's in PA school, right? So she is studying for her finals. And she is like, you know, really high level thing. And I'm like, one of my finals in college was a juggling final. Like, I'm not even kidding. It was basically a clown class where our final was juggling.
I love that.
I put that on there because it's fun. And honestly, whenever I can fit it into a shoot, I do. Whether or not they use it, that's up to them. But I do a lot of juggling on Discover Wisconsin. Like, if we, you know, we went to the apple orchard, best believe I juggled the apples. Oh, I can take a bite out of them while I'm juggling.
I am totally Tebowing that.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Bronczynski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.